Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. That's a little Van Halen bringing us in to our to this part of our show. And as I promised you, Beverly Williams is our guest. Beverly is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, going all the way back to the last century. That's right. November of 97 when she first joined us. And she obviously doesn't have a life because she can continue to come back and be with us after all these years. And she's kind of like me, you know, she just works hard for small business owners. And that kind of prevents you from having a life, right, Bev?
Yes, it does. I keep threatening to retire, and somehow I get busier.
Well, I keep sending you these big checks, and you can't turn them down, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, right.
Beverly Williams, ladies and gentlemen, the 2002 Home-Based Business Person of the Year. That's a national award the SBA gave her, and she's the co-author of The 30-Second Commute, the ultimate guide to starting and operating a home-based business. If you're home-based or want to be, you got to have this book. And she's our good friend, Beverly. One of the things that that I was telling the audience earlier that about the work that you do and working with small business owners, home-based folks, and sometimes the process of getting the business launched takes a little while to do, and if the person is smart, they will take as long as it needs to take. Sometimes mm-hmm. you just got to do some planning, do some preparation, and a lot of times, even though the business may not wind up being in the home, the planning is in the home, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, a lot of businesses start on the kitchen table, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with either location by any means. The I as you said, I work with a lot of small business owners. Probably more than half of them that are going to be or are home-based businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And the others are located in maybe small strip malls. Some of them work within somebody else's office, share space with them. Lots of different people doing lots of different things. The one thing that they all have in common, other than being small businesses, is that in probably 98% of the cases, the people I deal with are single-owned businesses, single-person-owned businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And what that ends up being, as their business counselor, I end up being their confidant as well, mm-hmm. and the person that they say, well, I'm not sure if I should do this. You know, what do you think? And mm-hmm. what I have told people, and a lot of them stop and look at me like I'm crazy, I tell them they need a board of advisors.
Hmm.
And they look at me and say, me, I'm just a small one-person business.
It never occurred to them.
Yeah, all the more reason.
In fact, probably some of them, you probably only just gotten them to realize that they actually have a business. Probably some
right.
of them are just thinking, I want to make some more cash.
I have a young lady who, for the last 11 years, has been providing in-home services to elderly, not medical services, but just like housekeeping, bathing, mm-hmm. you know, companionship, and mm-hmm. running errands. She has never formed herself as a business. She has been paying full taxes on
wow.
the full amount of the money.
Mm-hmm.
And when I told her what she could do and how much money she could save by being a business, she was
yeah.
flabbergasted.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, a lot of people.
She just thought she was working for wages, didn't she? She didn't
yeah,
realize.
She did.
She didn't realize she. Well, actually, she was what it's exactly what she was doing,
uh-huh.
but she didn't realize that there were advantages to becoming a business and filing that way and offsetting your income with expenses and et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So, going back to having a board of advisors, even if you have two or three people, and I have a current business that's getting ready to open that's been more than a year in the making. And it's a mother and daughter team, and they thought they had it all together. And when I advised them to have an advisory board, and they finally did it, they sat down and looked at me and said, wow, all these ideas. all this help for nothing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's not. I think a lot of people think that if they have an advisory board, it has to be people that they pay, that they give something
right.
to. And yes, you probably will offer them something. Maybe it's dinner for
yeah.
coming together and being your advisory board. But no, they're not paid advisors. These are people who care about you and your business and are willing to put their thinking caps on and look at your circumstances, your business, your whatever it is, with a different set of eyes that are not tunnel vision that you have. Too many of us look at things and say, I see this, and we don't see beyond it.
Right.
And a board of advisors can help you see beyond.
Especially if these are people who've been there, done that, bought the T-shirt.
Right, exactly.
Made the mistakes that you don't have to make.
Mm-hmm. I have a fabric store owner, in fact, it's the one getting ready to open here in town, and her board of advisors includes me, because I'm a quilter as well as a business
right.
advisor, another woman who's a quilter who comes from a different part of the country and who knows how to teach, she has taught before, another one who used to work in another fabric store in another state,
mm-hmm.
and a fairly new quilter. And who is in business for herself as well. So here's someone.
So where's the guy in all that? I mean,
there ought to be
a guy in the middle of that somewhere.
There are lots of men who quilt, but they don't happen to be in Western Maryland. I take that back. There is an 87-year-old man who was born and raised in this county who actually lives just over the line in Pennsylvania now, but he's a machine quilter, and he does still quilt.
Okay.
Well,
okay, fine. Anyway, the thing is that, and there are people though that you need to be part of your group there,
right.
who are professionals like you. You're,
mm-hmm.
you just happen to be a quilter, but you're a professional consultant.
Right.
But then you also need to include your CPA.
Mm-hmm.
Your attorney may be able to help some with this. Your insurance agent could help with this. And the point is. Now, those are paid advisors because you
mm-hmm.
do pay them for their services.
Right.
But part of the relationship with those people could be for them to take a little extra interest in your business, not just a transaction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not just be a transaction. Hold on to that thought, Beverly. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And we're going to take a quick one. We'll be right back with Beverly Williams. We've got more to come right after these messages. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. At my website's our smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Smallbusinessadvocate.com is where you can find all the things that we do here every day on the show, all the different ways you can listen to the show. We have several ways, including streaming our podcasting, and you can listen to the current show, or you can listen to the ones we've done in the past, all the way back to when we started archiving them in 99. And, of course, don't forget our knowledge base, askjim.biz. Well, you get small business answers now, so check that out. Check those out. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff. Beverly Williams is our guest. She's all over both of our websites. She's the co-author also of the 30-Second Commute, and we're talking to her about home-based businesses, but also micropreneurs, people trying to get out of the home into a retail location, for example. Every tiny, tiny business can't be operated from home, Beverly. Sometimes you need to be in a retail place where people can come and spend time and buy your wares, like this business you were just talking about. We were talking about having an advisory group, a board of advisors. And I think, Beverly, it's important for small business owners to realize that your board of advisors could include one person as part of that group that you only talk to one time.
Yes.
In other words, I think one of the things maybe that concerns people is
is they think that they've got to go ask somebody to make a commitment to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I think that your board of advisors could be your board of advisors without ever knowing that they are.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, how many times have I gone and talked to someone that told me something that was incredibly important, just immensely essential mm-hmm. to my success, mm-hmm. and I only had one conversation with them, and I never said anything about being on my board of advisors, but nobody could have done better than they did,
mm-hmm.
and right. I bought them lunch or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't have to be some kind of a formal structure, does it?
No, it doesn't, and it's sort of like the out of the mouths of babes type of thing, wisdom that people can give you information or advice without even thinking that they're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest son has a full-time job, and he has a part-time business at home doing computer repair and building computers, and he has joined a networking group. It's not BNI, Business Network International, but it's something very similar to that where they meet a couple times a month for breakfast, and they have to talk about their goals and stuff. And I said to him yesterday, this is your board of advisors, basically,
mm-hmm.
because these people are not only there to help give him more business, but they also talk about each other's goals and whether or not they're appropriate and doable. And so this has become his board of advisors, and they don't have that title. So it doesn't have to be something real formal. I think some businesses do benefit from having a formal board of advisors insofar as they call it that, they meet on a regular basis, they have an agenda for the get-together and so forth. I'm going to a board of advisors meeting tonight, as a matter of fact, and one of the things we're going to be talking about is this new store that's opening and how do we publish the policies without sounding like we're setting down a whole lot of, you know, nasty rules.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's going to happen is it's going to come out in the form of a newsletter and informative rather than laying down the law. You know,
mm-hmm.
this is what our refund policy is and this is what our class cancellation policy is. But it will be more along the lines of just information. And so I think it will be viewed very differently. But the board of advisors will decide some of these things. Not decide, but advise the owners on
mm-hmm.
these. That's the other thing is that the board of advisors is not somebody that's going to dictate to you. They will offer advice. You, as the business owner, will decide whether or not you're going to take that advice. Now, in most cases, I think you probably will, because this is the collective wisdom of people that if you put your board together properly, that will benefit you. And again, they're seeing things that not through rose-colored glasses necessarily. And so what they have to say is probably extremely beneficial and worth following. But you are still the ultimate authority. It is your store, your business, and you have the right to say, I don't think that's going to work, and either convince me or thank you very much for your advice and move on.
Well, you know, another thing someone who provides you with advice or experience or wisdom or whatever, a lot of times, you know, when you hear somebody talking about to giving you this information, folks, You may not like what they're saying. In fact, you may hate what they're saying. It may just be just antithetical to everything you've been working on.
Mm-hmm.
But remember it anyway, because many times, Beverly, I've someone's told me something, and I said, well, you know, I don't think that's right, you know, blah blah blah, and then it turns out 6 months or a year later, or even maybe less, I'd look back and I'd say, whoa,
mm-hmm.
he was right,
mm-hmm.
I was wrong,
right.
And hopefully you'll realize that before you get too far in trouble.
Exactly, I agree with you 100%.
But the main thing is I think, and I really am glad you talked about this board of advisors, and if board of advisors is too formal sounding to you, just how about just advisors?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it can be that.
And it could be
call it whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Beverly, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you for having me.
As always, we'll see you next time. Beverly Williams, ladies and gentlemen, the book is called The 30-Second Commute. It's available wherever books are sold. Quick break. Right back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Yeah, we dance. Stop my beat, baby.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.